your faces today. Isn't it?
Yep.
Yes, it is.
Be glad to be seen.
Yes.
No.
Me too. Did I hear somebody say no?
Wasn't me.
Huh?
Wasn't me that time.
It was a figment of my imagination. Okay, so clearly you're not going to get anything today. Sorry. I don't know what the problem is. We'll see if we can fix it between services. Probably going to need somebody smarter than me, Chris. So we'll see if we can tackle that after service. So I apologize about that if you're checking us out online or this morning. In the building, we're gonna be wrapping Galatians up, our series on Galatians. This will be number six, chapter six, but also week six in this series. I've tried to cover a chapter at a time. Clearly, I did not intend to go through every single verse in each chapter. I'm trying to hit the high points. I have really enjoyed this book. I've really enjoyed this series myself. And here Paul kind of gives some concluding thoughts. And so if you have your Bibles, because it will not be on the screen, turn to Galatians chapter 6. And we're going to jump into it. In verse 1 is where we're going to start. Again, as I recap before we begin verse 1, to recap kind of what's been going on from chapters 1 through chapter 5, Paul needed to write this letter to the churches in the city of Galatia, the region of Galatia, and he needed to write this letter because there was clearly some wrong teaching going on in those churches. And so Paul writes this letter because some of that teaching was saying, hey, in order to get to go to heaven, in order to be right with God, you have to believe in Jesus Christ, but also, hey, you need to be circumcised and follow all of God, that Old Testament law, those laws there in the Old Testament. And Paul is saying, no, Jesus is the only way to heaven. Okay? And in no way am I saying that we should not learn and glean from the Old Testament and all of it, okay? I think there are benefits of it, and it's good to practice. It's good to understand those things and even why God had placed those in there. It's good for us. But Paul says, I don't live like a Jew anymore. He says, I live like a Gentile. Remember, we talked one week about him correcting Peter because Peter was living like a Gentile until some other Jewish believers came, and then he started living like a Jew again. And so Paul corrected him. He was having to set himself up as an apostle to the audience that he was writing to again. The last message in this series, 2 weeks ago, we read where in chapter 5, Paul gave some lists, and some of you are going to remember those lists. He gave a list of behaviors of the sinful nature, what the sinful nature will produce, and that was stuff like sexual immorality, debauchery, hatred, jealousy, envy. There was like 15 of them. And then there's also fruit of what? Fruit of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against those things, there's no law against those things. And so now here in chapter 6, we're going to start out in verse 1. He says, dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back into the right path. And be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Okay, now we need to, I want to kind of point something out here. He says, if another believer is overcome by some sin, okay, go back to chapter 5 there in verse 19 where he gives the list of those 15 things that the sinful nature wants to do or will lead you to. Okay? Remember that chapter he talked about there being a battle between our sinful nature, every one of us has it, a battle between our sinful nature and the battle between wanting to follow the Spirit. Okay? The Spirit wants you to do things that are in opposition to the flesh or your sinful nature. And so there's always this battle going on with us and inside of us. And at the end of the list of those 15 things of the sinful nature, he says, these things, those who practice these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Remember?
Yeah.
You can't think that you're going to heaven by living that way.
That's right.
No. That's one of the things Paul was trying to get across. Okay? And now, this verse here is talking about, he said, if somebody finds himself been overcome by sin, I want to point out, this is sin that they're not practicing all those things that he's talking about in chapter 5. Okay? They're practicing trying to serve Jesus and live according to the Spirit. Okay? They're coming to repentance here. He says, if another believer is overcome by some sin, notice a believer. You can't be a believer living like those things in chapter 5 and verse 19. We can't call ourselves a believer living that way. If another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly, or you who are spiritual, when they've been overtaken by sin, you who are godly or spiritual, spiritually mature, in other words, should gently and humbly help that person or help restore that person. And it's interesting, as I was studying this, this verse is also used, I'm sorry, this word here in to restore is also used for someone repairing a net. You're trying to bring it back to its proper condition. It's also used in the New Testament as trying to develop and perfect human character. Okay? So, we want to help bring, when somebody slips up, when somebody falls, well, the last thing we want to do is kick them when they're down.
That's right.
Even if they've been living like chapter 5. If they are awakened to the living God, then we want to be the spiritual people who are constantly pointing people to Jesus.
Amen.
And we're not going to kick them when they're down. Time out. Caveat. Doesn't mean that there doesn't need to be discipline.
Right?
As a pastor, I don't love talking about church discipline because I don't want people to be scared. While at the same time, if you're in leadership position and you live certain ways, guess what? You're no longer in leadership position.
Right?
Right?
Amen.
Doesn't mean that you can't get back to it, but those who are in those leadership positions, they need to be leaders and examples.
Exactly.
Does this make any sense? But it says we should gently and humbly restore them back into a right relationship with God. And that's to extend grace to them, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right.
Extend grace. Pardon me, my mouth is so dry on Sundays. Let's extend grace to them and let's encourage them and say, hey, you know what? We don't encourage you doing that anymore, obviously, but you know what? The blood of Jesus is enough. And come back in. Forsake that stuff. Yes. Repent of it. And come back to Jesus. Let's walk in His ways. Amen?
Amen.
Let's walk in Him. Let's learn how to live. And you know what? Sometimes the Lord's going to call on you to say, help them walk through that tough time.
Yes.
Help them walk through that. Call them and say, hey, how's it going today?
Yeah.
How's it going today?
Yeah.
Are you hanging in there? Are you still doing right? Because if they know you're going to be calling, guess what? They don't want to have to say, right? But look at the last part of this verse, verse 1. And be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself.
Yes.
I think what this is referring to is a prideful attitude saying, bless God, I'm so spiritual that would never affect me. Then you likely just gave the enemy a little foothold.
Yeah.
He can get one of those claws in there.
Yeah.
You're just exposed to crack through that pride. We just have to be careful. I find it interesting that Paul puts that right there. Be careful that you don't fall into the same temptation. Be careful. I always tease people when they tell me, be careful. I said, careful is my middle name. It's not, but you get the point. Verse 2. Share each other's burdens, and in this way, obey the law of Christ. Share. In other words, help carry. Help bear the load. I'm looking around the room and I see people that we've been walking together for a little while. And there's been times where you needed somebody, and some of you are still in it, where you need somebody to help carry the load. The weight is too much at times, isn't it?
Yes.
And it's okay, because that's why scriptures like this one are here. Carry each other's burdens. Help one another. And one of the really important ways that we can do that, I mentioned one a minute ago, that would be calling people. Say, hey, when it comes to what we've already talked about, the temptation, they were overcome by sin, and maybe the Lord's going to call you and say, hey, I want to be your accountability partner. I know that's a dirty word, accountability. That's sarcasm, I'm sorry. Accountability is not a dirty word. It's not bad. If somebody offers it, you should probably take them up on it instead of saying, oh, I'm fine. But a really wonderful way of helping carry someone else's burdens is prayer.
Yes.
See, we believe in the power of prayer.
Amen.
James tells us that the effectual prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. The prayer of a righteous person, not the wimpy prayer with no faith involved, but the earnest prayer, the prayer that says, "Oh God," the prayer that gets a hold of God on their behalf.
Yes.
God hears that.
Yes.
And how much of a blessing is that? You know what? It's wonderful when we understand that we have people in our corner. Isn't it?
Yes.
How cool is that?
Amen.
Somebody in the room sent me a text message a week ago or so, and it was just encouraging. I said, oh, thank you, Lord. I needed that. I had somebody in my corner.
Yeah.
That's right.
And when I get encouraged, I always show that to my wife so she can be encouraged too.
Yeah.
And know that we've got people in our corner. Because you know what? I'm not an island, and neither are you.
No.
We're not all alone. And time out, another caveat. That's what the enemy wants us to think. That's what the enemy wants us to feel like, that I'm all alone. Nobody knows about me. Nobody cares about me. Nobody's praying for me. I'm all alone, poor, poor, pitiful me, right?
Yeah.
Because think about it. If he can get you all alone, and you get depressed, and you like, well, nobody at the church even likes me. I don't even know why I go. You won't be coming.
Yeah.
And then, guess what? Then your spiritual walk will likely begin to diminish little by little.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. Scripture tells us to continue to assemble together as long as we can, as we see the evil approaching. Right? We're supposed to continue to meet together.
That's right.
And I'm not trying to throw any guilt on anybody who's quarantined. That's not my goal with that. But because I know some of you who are doing that, you love to be here.
That's right.
But the enemy, if your spiritual walk starts to diminish, you feel like you're all alone, you stop coming to church because, well, remember, nobody even likes me there. Which isn't true.
That's right.
You know what the devil's native language is, right? He's a big fat liar. All he knows how to speak is lies.
Right.
He's the father of lies, Jesus said.
Yeah.
Right.
So what he's going to do is try to get you against people to feel like you're all alone. You stop coming to church, your spiritual walk will begin to diminish.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
It'll begin to diminish little by little. And then before you know it, you're doing things that you never thought you'd be doing. And then the enemy says, I got you, rascal. I got you, sucker. There's nobody around now because you've separated yourself because you listened to his lies.
Yeah.
And then he's got you. Yeah. Kind of like, I love watching those nature shows where the big cats are awesome.
Oh, yes.
They go for that weak animal that's kind of off on the outskirts.
Yeah.
And they don't really know what to do when the predator comes. But many of you do know what to do because you text me, said, Pastor, I need you to pray.
Yeah.
You know? And you come to church and you because you need to be fed, you need to be challenged in the spirit, you need to be challenged in the word. Don't listen to the lies of the devil.
Amen.
You need to learn to say no. We have to say no to the devil and to what his lies are telling us, and we have to say no to our sinful nature. So it's okay if you see each other, just say no. Just be quiet. They're probably just talking to themselves, trying to keep in line with the Spirit. It's okay. If you see me mumbling under my breath, be quiet, you knucklehead. I'm talking to myself. Share each other's burdens. And you will encourage one another. You will challenge each other. You will hold each other up in prayer, but you'll hold them up in their heart of hearts. Emotionally, they'll be stronger.
Yes.
Won't you?
Yeah.
Like today, I told you the text I got, well, I think it was about a week ago. I said, oh, needed that. It built me up. So thank you.
Yeah.
And in this way, as we share each other's burdens, because we've all got them at times. If you don't have any today, it's okay. It's awesome. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
But don't forget to praise the Lord when you do have some burdens.
Amen.
Yeah. And no, you don't have to handle it all alone.
That's right.
You don't. We're here for you. And you know what? If one person's too busy at the time and they've got their own thing going on, find somebody else. Don't get offended. Just find somebody else. Be loving. Be gracious. He says, share each other's burdens, and in this way, obey the law of Christ.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now look, he's been talking about the law and saying, hey, we don't, because those false teachers were saying that you had to follow all the law. And Paul made the point through this letter, you can't follow all, you can't complete all the law.
No.
So just work on serving and following the Spirit. Work on letting the Holy Spirit direct you, letting Him guide your every step. And then you will obey the law of Christ. It's interesting that he uses that there, the law of Christ, not the old law of Moses, okay?
Amen.
We're going to look at verse 3. Hey, you guys got way more than I was planning on already.
Okay.
Verse 3, if you think you're too important to help someone, oh, come on. You're only fooling yourself.
That's right.
Amen.
The next line, this, you are not that important.
That's true.
Okay, I'm going to take another time out because you are important. Each one of you is important. You're important to this body of believers, and I believe with all of my heart that you're important to God.
Yeah.
Yes.
A matter of fact, I believe that everybody in this community and on this planet who draws a breath is extremely, extremely important to God.
Amen.
But here we got the word that says, you're not that important. When we think we're important. Paul, this is just a simple reminder. Paul says, hey, come on back down to earth.
Yeah.
Don't, well, I'm too good to associate with them. I'm better than they are.
No, you're not.
I'm so strong, I don't need anybody to help me. That's pride.
Yeah.
And let's face it, pride does not honor the Lord.
No.
Ever. That kind of pride. Don't be too, don't ever think that you're too important to help someone else. Because you know what? Somebody helped you at some point.
Sure.
I know it because I'm looking around the room and I see a whole bunch of survivors. I see a whole bunch of people who fought a long time. And you can't fight that long on your own.
No.
And I also know that you've been a part of this church for many of you for a number of years. And we've been fighting for you too. Fighting in your corner, praise God. You know, Jesus is a prime example of this verse, not thinking too highly of herself. If there ever was anybody to think highly of themselves, right? It was Jesus.
Yeah.
Remember the woman at the well? She said to Jesus, like, who do you think you are? Do you think you're better than our ancestor Jacob? And he's like, yeah. I am. Because I made Jacob?
Yeah.
But yet he was, what was he doing when he was talking to her? Helping.
Yes,
he was helping some poor beat down woman. That society said, we don't want to be around you. And when they are, they made fun of her, which is why she was drawing water at the hottest part of the day, because she knew nobody else was going to be that crazy to go get water at that time of day. They couldn't just turn on the faucet. Jesus went there on purpose to help her. He didn't think too highly of himself, even though he could have, and he was and is somebody important. As a matter of fact, the most important.
Amen. Right.
What an example he led. And then ultimately, guess what? He died on the cross.
Yeah.
For you and for me.
Amen.
He didn't think he was too important. He thought you were too important to not do it. Remember? There's a moment of another moment of testing in that garden. Oh Father, if there's any other way, is not going to be pleasant, but the outcome is going to be worth it.
Yeah.
And he went through with it, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Verse 4. Excuse me. Pay careful attention to your own work, for then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done, and you won't need to compare yourself to anyone. Some of the notes I read on this, they were thinking that this work he's talking about here refers to gospel work, kingdom business. Pay careful attention to your own work, for then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done. How many of you like a job? Like to look back at the job you did and say, "Awesome! Praise the Lord! Thank you, Jesus, for helping with that." It's awesome. I love it too. It is satisfying. Obviously, some things are more satisfying than others. And I will tell you, there is no satisfaction like leading someone to Jesus, helping them to understand who He is and give their hearts to Him. There's no greater accomplishment than to point somebody to Jesus. But you know what? Sometimes you did a lot of sowing, and a lot of planting, and a lot of encouraging, and a lot of inviting, and a lot of praying, and somebody else might get the privilege of leading them to Jesus. Don't feel like your efforts were in vain because they weren't.
That's right.
Scripture tells us that one will plant and one will water. So whichever one you got to do, just be thankful. If in this place, I love to hear when people come to church and say, "Pastor, I led somebody to the Lord." Doesn't even have to be in the church. I love that stuff. Or if you beat me to the altar and pray with somebody and lead them to the Lord. Oh, sure, I love to do it. But I also want you to be able to do it. I want you to be able to have the freedom to do that and the confidence that you can do that. Praise the Lord. Look at the last part of this verse in 4. And you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else. You know, comparing really doesn't ever produce much good. We do not need to compare ourselves to each other. You know why? Because you don't have the same calling that somebody else has. Because you're called by a different name. And God has wired you differently. You don't have the same calling. And hey, I'm going to give you the freedom this morning. It's okay to be you.
Yeah.
It's just not okay to be the sinful nature you.
Amen.
Got to continue to crucify that, as he said in the end of chapter 5, as Paul wrote. You know what? Comparing yourself to others either causes you to think that you are something great, which would be pride, or it causes you to think that you're inferior, which then you'd be depressed. Neither of which outlook is from God.
Right.
When we compare, I'm better than that person. Or, man, if I could only be like that person. That's not to say that we can't learn and glean things from other people. But we have to be careful to compare ourselves. And again, if we're talking about works of the kingdom, gospel works, you're not called to do what I do.
Amen.
You're not called to be me. I'm not called to be you. I'm not called to be anybody else. Right?
Amen.
I'm not trying to be other people. You know what? When I first stepped into youth ministry, they said some of the I think there was the youth leaders that were there, and we had just stepped in, and they stayed there and were helping, and it was awesome. But one day they said, "Well, that's not how Pastor So and So used to do it."
So?
Do I look like Pastor So and So? Now, I don't mean to be offensive with that, but I wanted the point to be understood that I was not him, nor
right.
was I going to try to be him. When a new leader steps into a role, everything's going to, a lot of things are going to change just because they're a different person, right? And so it's good to understand that, but you're not called to be me, nor are you called to be the person next to you. You've got to be you. Figure out what God wants from you. Figure out what giftings He's got, that He already has for you, and develop those giftings and work with the Holy Spirit to do the work of ministry. Allow God to use you. You know what? You can, more than likely, all of us can grow in this area and grow in working in the kingdom. Praise the Lord. Verse 5 continues, "For we are each responsible for our own conduct, not everybody else's."
That's right.
Think about me when you read that one, okay? Pastor Chad's not responsible for everybody else's conduct in the building.
Yeah.
Oh, I heard an amen, didn't I? I love you. Thank you for letting me have the latitude there. Verse 6. You know what, though? If we could back up to verse 5, we are each responsible for our own conduct. But if God is calling you to minister to someone else, you're responsible for that.
Yes.
And what they choose to do, y'all know the saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink.
Right.
You can invite people to church, and they can even come, but it doesn't mean they have to give their heart to Jesus.
Right.
They're going to do what they're going to do.
Doesn't
mean we shouldn't continue to invite, continue to share scriptures, continue to pray for them, and so on. But they're going to do what they're going to do. You can't make the decision for them.
Right.
And we can't be held responsible for those decisions that they make.
Right.
But the Lord would likely hold us responsible if we do not represent Him well.
That's right.
Let us make sure that we're representing Him well. We're not kicking people in or down. We're loving them when they come in that door. we're gracious to them. Praise the Lord. Verse 6. Those who were taught the word of God should provide for the teachers, sharing all good things with them.
Yes.
Paul is here referring to those teachers or ministers, and it works this way in our church that tithe that's given, your pastors get compensated out of that. And so we're thankful. Many of you already know this. I have no idea who gives how much. I just know Sherry gives me a printout of how much money comes in the different categories, different funds, but I don't know who gave it. And I like it that way.
Amen.
Because I don't want to make any decision. I don't want any good feelings or bad feelings because of money.
Right.
Nope. I trust the Lord. This is His church. He is going to provide.
Right.
He chooses to do that through you all. I tithe as well.
Yeah.
Okay? Let's see, moving on. Verse 7. Don't be misled or don't be deceived. You cannot mock the justice of God.
Amen.
Don't deceive yourself. You can't mock God's justice. You cannot mock God.
That's right.
I mean, He might let you get away with it for a while. But it won't last.
Ooh.
It will not last. That's a promise. Not for me, from Him. How could you mock God? Jesus never got trapped. And they tried to trap Him over and over again. I love it. how he would always turn that and He'd always get out of it. But look at what else it says. You will always harvest what you plant.
That's right.
You will always reap what you sow. Think about it. You will always harvest what you plant. Yeah. You're gonna reap what you've sown. You know, if you plant carrots, what are you going to get?
Carrots.
Let's say you plant peaches, but you want to get apples out of it. Would you tell somebody that they're crazy for that? I would.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, what did you say? You planted a peach seed, but you want it to grow up and produce apples? Help me understand where you're coming from. How about, why not just plant apple seeds?
Right.
Yeah, right? So, if I plant corn, I'm not going to expect green beans, right?
Okay.
I planted corn because I want to get corn. I plant green beans because I want to get green beans. Or some of you like okra. Plant okra seed to get okra. Alright, this makes sense to us, doesn't it? But if we plant and we sow in disobedience and sinful into our sinful nature, what do you think we're going to get? Believer. Or person on the edge, you cannot plant sinful behavior and expect to get righteousness, love, and grace from God.
Yeah. Amen.
It cannot work that way. You get what you sow.
Right.
Well, Pastor, nobody's ever put it like that to me. I thought you said God was loving and God was gracious. Oh, He absolutely is, but you cannot fool God. Don't fool yourself either. If you plant that way, guess what you're going to get? He tells us. Let's look on to the next verse. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always, always harvest what you plant. Verse 8. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature, here's what you're going to harvest. Decay and death from that sinful nature. Decay and death. If all you plant is sinful behavior, sinful life. If you're working and living out of the sinful nature. But the second part of 8. But those who live to please the Spirit. There's a contrast here. But those who live to please the Holy Spirit will harvest, they will reap everlasting life from the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beautiful stuff. If I plant corn, I'm getting corn.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
So many of you know my story. We were living in the city. Doggone, I planted like 12 plants. And I think I only got 12 ears of corn. Maybe 10. I was so mad. But it's because I was ignorant about it. I didn't understand how many ears each plant would produce. If I would have understood, I would have planted quite a few more. If you would only understand that you're going to reap it, wouldn't you plant if you knew that what you were going to reap? If you knew that planting and pleasing the Spirit and living by the Spirit would produce eternal life, wouldn't you do that?
Yes.
As opposed to living by the sinful nature and doing everything the flesh wants to do, will get you decay and death and destruction.
Right.
It's a no-brainer, isn't it?
Yeah.
But still, the battle goes on every day with all of us. Every day's a test, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah.
It's okay. You're not alone. You're not alone. Pastor's in it with you. I'm fighting the same fights. We've got to plant righteousness. We've got to plant those good things. Verse 9. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. That would be what is good and godly of the Spirit. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Don't give up!
Amen.
Keep going! Press on! I know you're tired. I know you want to take a rest. But keep going. Keep serving the Lord. Keep digging down deeper if you've got to. I remember playing football. Nate and the Warsaw football team, had their first game Friday night. I remember when I played football a long, long time ago, fourth quarter started, we put our hands up like this saying, it's the fourth quarter, now it's time to dig down deep. This separates the men from the boys. Fourth quarter, I gotta dig a little deeper because we've already been playing three quarters, but the game's not over yet. We gotta keep going. It's fourth quarter. Dig deeper, baby. Let's go. Come on. We pump each other up. We smack each other on the helmet, which kind of hurts your ears a little bit. What? What'd you say? Don't get tired. I know. Your body's already tired. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't stop. Don't even slow down. It's okay to rest. It's okay to take care of yourself. But don't stop doing good. Don't stop serving Him. Don't stop serving, as Larry sang the song earlier, the Master. Don't stop serving the Master. He is everything. Listen, this world is going to begin to fade away more and more.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's going to get more wicked and wicked, more dark. Darkness is going to be prevalent. It already is. Don't give up. Hang on to Jesus with everything that you've got, as if your life depended on it, because it does.
Right.
Your eternal life does. Our eternal life is more important than this life.
That's right.
It's a lot longer. And the way we live this life determines that life. Oh, but Pastor, I don't believe any of that. We just go to the dirt. You're wrong!
Amen.
Study stuff. Look at it. Open the Word of God. Let the Holy Spirit prick your heart.
Yes.
You're going to harvest what you planted.
Right.
Don't give up, church. Don't give up. Verse 10. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, everybody say opportunity.
Opportunity.
We should do good to everyone. Yeah. Say everyone.
Everyone.
Especially to those in the family of faith.
Amen.
And a lot of you are really great at this. awesome. Whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good. Isn't that great?
Yes.
That's just some practical stuff right there that Paul says to those churches in that region of Galatia. just try to do good to people. Whenever you get to, I'm talking about here, across the nation.
Yeah.
It's absurd. If you don't like it, look in your heart. That is not the Lord encouraging you to do those things.
Right.
Be convicted in your heart. Verse 14, I'm going to skip a few. I like this. As for me, may I never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of that cross, or because of Him, my interest in this world has been crucified.
Amen.
Look what else it says. And the world's interest in me has also died. This world doesn't like us.
No.
Because we stand for what is right, what is true, what is good.
Amen. Right.
And they will never like us. And they're not supposed to, and we're not supposed to join them. I believe we're supposed to love them.
Yes.
But we're not supposed to be like them.
No.
The word of the Lord says, come out and be separate from them. Right?
Yeah.
They never boast about anything except the cross. What does that look like? Oh man, I'm so thankful for the cross. The cross. What saved me. Jesus is the one who saved me. I'm so thankful for His work that He did. Right?
Amen.
Aren't we thankful for that work, that precious, that powerful work, that sacrificial work?
Yes.
He gave up His life, poured out His blood. Not a couple drops. That was in the garden.
Yeah.
When He went and ultimately did it, He poured out a whole lot. Yeah. There was probably a puddle on the ground. What He did for us. Let's boast in the cross. Let's boast in that work that Jesus did. And we're just so thankful. That's why we've got to keep the cross always before us. So my interest in this world has been crucified. In other words, because of what Jesus did, I recognize it and I've crucified my sinful nature. He said it in chapter 5. He's saying it again. Verse 15. It doesn't matter whether we have been circumcised or not. Emily, you can come on up. Get ready to play something if you would. It doesn't matter whether we have been circumcised or not. Now remember, he's going back as kind of a final conclusion here. He's going back to the reason he wrote this letter. Because the audience, some were teaching that they had to be circumcised in order to go to heaven. And he said that's not the case. It doesn't matter whether we've been circumcised or not. What counts? Check it out. What counts is whether we have been transformed.
Yes.
Transformed. I'm just letting this soak in. Okay, I don't need an amen. I'm letting that soak in. What counts is whether we have been transformed into a new creation.
Amen.
You can't do that yourself. You have to rely on the Lord to do that for you. But it does. You do play a factor in it for certain. You have to say, Lord, I've been living for me, and I need your forgiveness. I've hurt you. I've hurt others. Forgive me. Cleanse me. Make me new. Make me a new creation. And He'll do it. I promise. It doesn't take that long. When there's that faith that He is who He says He is in your heart of hearts, and you believe that He is the way to salvation, He's the way to heaven, it doesn't matter how the words are said, it doesn't matter how flowery or how simple, how long or how short, all that matters is that the faith is in Him. And then I promise you, He'll make you new. Many of you in the room did that a number of years ago, and it's still good today. Amen? But Pastor, what about the people who used to follow Jesus and now they don't? They chose the sinful nature over Jesus. They let the cares of this world get in the way. They let the enemy suck them out.
Yeah.
They let it happen.
That's right.
That wasn't Jesus' will. That wasn't Jesus' plan. We've got to live by the Spirit. We've got to walk in His ways. We've got to sow and plant in righteousness and in truth. Can we just worship Him and lay our life down once again? I think it's good to do that even daily. Lord, we just honor You. But we just honor You because You're the Master. Lord, we just surrender ourselves to You this morning. Oh, we surrender ourselves to You, Lord. Help us to consider the realities and the outcomes of our sowing, of our planting, so that we will reap, we will harvest good things and eternal life instead of negative things and death and destruction. But Lord, we want to look to You. We want to look past. We want to look past and beyond this life. We want to look to eternal life with You. Lord, we lay our lives down this morning. We crucify our sinful nature. We are not friends of this world. Lord, we are strangers. We're foreigners in this land. And we're looking for our home in heaven. Oh, Lord. You're faithful. You're gracious. You're kind. We just look to You today. We're Yours. We lay our lives down before Your feet. Lord, I ask that You would help. I ask that You would anoint each person. I plead Your blood over them. God, I thank You for hearing us when we pray. You're good. You're faithful. You're worthy. You're worthy, Lord, beyond measure. We lift the name of Jesus up today, Lord. We thank You for that cross. We thank You for the cross. Lord, we need You today. We need You. Help us to do good to others. But there's none like You. There's none like You. We honor You this morning. We say thank You, God, for Your grace. We say thank You, Lord, for Your mercy. We say thank You for the cross, for the blood of Jesus. Lord, we acknowledge You. So much for being here this morning. Don't forget the offering box there in the foyer. If you came ready.